Win £50,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Hello and welcome along to another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Tom Nugent, and that burp in the background was Fran Berry, who's potentially feeling a little bit under the weather. Fran, how are things? That really caught me off guard. How are you?
Tom, I've had a busy few days. The Coca-Cola's out for me. Product placement for Coca-Cola. Between snow and Leeds Bradford Airport this morning, that I'm chasing my tail a bit, but I assure the listeners we got winners now. Oh, we got the preliminaries out of the way.
That's really got me going. That is, that's really on a cold March day, that's really warmed the cockles of my heart. Fran, thanks really for joining us. Obviously, we're building up to the Cheltenham Festival, but what better way to build up to the Cheltenham Festival than taking a look at Dundalk? You're gonna bring us through another busy card there on Friday evening.
I am indeed, yeah. Friday pre-Cheltenham, of course. We'll try and get a few quid in the kitty ahead of next week. We're going to need all the help we can get, Tom, with 4 days of solid racing, plenty of evening racing, and quite a decent card in its own right at Dundalk. And we'll be talking about a lot of horses through the evening. We're going to see a lot of horses running Friday night that will figure in the grass maybe in the coming weeks. We won't be winning maybe on Friday night at Dundalk, but it's a sure sign. Get Cheltenham out of the way. The flat season's only around the corner also.
Yes, pipe openers galore at Dundalk on Friday night, and Fran will take us through all that shortly. Before we begin, a couple of bits of housekeeping. Congrats to Ben Kettleys and Barry Maguire, and a person with the Twitter handle MK on Toast, who all won a pair of tickets to Paddy Power Stairs Hurdle Day at the Cheltenham Festival from the competition on the Punters Panel episode last week. Don't forget to subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Lots of racing content coming to you thick and fast. We've got Shark Power, the Cheltenham quiz. Obviously, the Cheltenham countdown bits are all there for you to look at. But breaking only last night, we've got a rewind show with Rich Ritchie, Paddy Power and Ruby Walsh. Absolutely brilliant watch. It's just shy of an hour long, but worth every minute of it. It's really, really good. And he's obviously such a great character, Fran, and he's had so many great winners. He's been blessed, really, Rich Ritchie, hasn't he? He's had some brilliant horses in such a narrow space of time.
Yeah, from day one, he just hit the ground running with, horses that anybody would love to have wanted him, let alone what the multitude he's had. There's been highs and lows, of course. Annie Power that fall. I seen another documentary on that last night on TG Carr. And Rich Ritchie's a bit of an icon. He hasn't had things maybe go all his own way in the last 2 years, but he's well ahead of the game. He'd probably not be in a winner next week as well. And he brings a bit of colour to every, day's racing, if you like.
Would you ever go the mullet route yourself? I think it could suit you.
It's like bringing a friend with you, isn't it? Just
the thing is,
when you're a multimillionaire, you can do what you want.
I suppose.
If you go in with a mullet, Tom, we might not just survive, but. Yeah, you have a better chance than me, actually.
Oh, no, I'd say you're well ahead in that stake anyway. You'd look
like one of the fellas over Eastbound and Down, so you would just.
Very good, righto. Don't forget, the Cheltenham Fan Zone is back. Paddy's Day in 3 locations. If you haven't got anywhere to watch the racing yet, across Dublin, Galway and London, there's a link in the show notes for tickets. Myself and Fran were at one of them last year in the Camden and Dublin. Fran, they were great crack, weren't they?
Great crack, really, really enjoyable day. And if I wasn't working on St. Patrick's Day, Friday of Cheltenham, it'd definitely be top of the list. A lot of people were there last year. They were queuing up from, 11 o'clock in the morning to get in, and why not?
You'd want to be in the diary very early to book Fran Berry these days. He's in demand across.
I'm going to Down Ryle, Tom.
as I said, you'd want to be in the diary early to book you. You're just nobody. You're hot property these days. And the final bit of housekeeping to keep an eye out for: there are daily tipping shows for the Cheltenham Festival recorded after final declarations come through. PK is in the company of Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy, aka the A Team, who will be taking you through the final fields in more detail. One final piece. I did actually tell you a lie. There is currently a special on site with Paddy Power France. See what you think of this. The Cheltenham special. It's on the website, paddypower.com. Cheltenham Turbo Power Price. Gaillard de Manil in the National Hunt Chase and Lucia in the Mare's Novice Hurdle. Both to win. 7-2 out to 5-1. Franberry, I think I heard a little birdie tell me you were on the preview night circuit saying you're not a fan of Lucia. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, of all the short price favourites, she's the one I'd be keen to get out. I'd probably end up laying her on the day. I just think there's a lot of strength in depth to take her on from the Irish contingent. She's been very, very impressive all the way through from bumpers to her novice hurdles. But what she's beat, I think Astro Diamond is a big improver, work in progress for Willie Mullins. Night and Day, I believe, is not going to run now for Willie, but he's also got a lot of joy, who we put up as a anti-post selection way back in October. So she'll hopefully get there with every chance as well. And then you've got Henry de Bromhead's mare and a couple of others to take her on. So I'd definitely be all over Gaillard de Manil, but you can have Lucia.
You can keep Lucia, Nicky. So says Franberry. Righto, let's get to Dundalk. And first and foremost, Fran, last week you tipped up Might and Mercy. I believe PK is involved in some way, shape or form. He's very, very pleased. It was a big winner for Connections, but you can sack the UK representative on last week's show. You gave a loser at Southall.
Yeah, Southall did not go well on Tuesday evening. Tuesday evening, and I was very keen horse Roman Dynasty, whom I backed on his previous start. I won't be backing again after his performance on Tuesday night. I can't even blame Jamie Spencer for the ride. So we'll put a line to Roman Dynasty. But Dundalk last week, great win for Meet and Greet. And unfortunately, Noel Mead got done a nose in race 8 of the day. That was a reach way double for Paddy Power punters. And if he had won, and he'd won everywhere by the line, it would have been a very good night, I think, for myself and a lot of punters.
Nearly never won the race though, Fran. The search continues and we go to Dundalk this week. Are you up there with your partner in crime this Friday?
I am, yeah. Kevin from Dubai, I'm going with this Friday, so I am. And
you had Norman Williamson on the show last week. I believe it was a great success. I actually didn't see it. I was away myself, but I'm hearing great things. It helped you fill the time up there between races anyway, if nothing else.
Norman is one of the iconic riders of his generation, and you know he's done the Champion Hurdle Gold Cup double with Alderbrook Master Oats. He's had a fantastic career. He's also done a stint obviously with the BBC, so he's a fantastic talker. We could add him on for 5 hours rather than 2.5 hours last Friday night. I think Racing TV are going to put it together as a one-off show, if you like, or piece together on their YouTube channel, so keep that posted if you missed it, Tom. It's well worth a look.
And is that something, do you think they'll do more of, getting a kind of a guest in on kind of random Fridays to not necessarily liven things up? Yourself and Kev are brilliant broadcasters, but you know what I mean? Are they going to kind of bring a bit of variety on a Friday to Dundalk?
Yeah, I think so going forward. You know, if you get guests like that and bring them in for the evening, I think it adds a lot to the show. And
yeah, it's a great idea.
You know, like when you get someone like Norman, people forget it's only 20 years ago, you know, but the amount of texts we had on the way home from people and meeting people over the weekend that said they really enjoyed catching up with Norman, with what he'd done, or memories of all them great races. So if you get that kind of angle going, it's definitely a benefit.
And obviously really interesting angle in terms of like the horses he's producing at the moment. Group one winners abound now. He's very talented at his job.
Unbelievable. Native Trail, of course, being his standard bearer, but he also sold a Preakness Stakes winner in America. And it was interesting to hear his thoughts on the, you know, transitioning from being a junk jockey to the sale circuit. And he's a good storyteller as well. Normally told some great stories about being offered a Nicky Henderson job, and one condition was that Richard and Woody keep the riding remittance man and one other horse. And Kim Bailey got wind that he was in Lambourne talking to Nicky Henderson. He rang him and he drove from one side of the village to the other after meeting Nicky, and he had the Kim Bailey job within the half an hour. So it's just people wouldn't believe what goes on behind the scenes sometimes in racing politics.
Lovely stuff. Right, we've done enough talking now. Let's get down to Dundalk on Friday night. We've got an 8-race card to look forward to. The action gets underway at 4:45. The IrishInjuredJockeys.com claiming race over 7 furlongs, and obviously Fran, this is a market likely to be dominated by Pub Talk. Connections are fans of these races, and Colin Keane is in the plate. What did you think of the shape of the race? Were you keen on Pub Talk with the inside draw?
Yeah, very keen him, Tom. The way I've come around to playing claimers is forget the ratings. They don't count for anything. A lot of these horses in general are either on the way down or inconsistent. And just go with the horse with the best recent form, particularly in handicaps. And Pub Talk is definitely that. Very good third to Malakan in his last start. He was also placed behind that horse two starts ago as well. They were very competitive three-year-old only handicaps. And he's a dual winner over 7 furlongs. He's won a claimer at Dundalk. He won it down Royal in nursery company for Noel Mead last year. And most importantly, Colin Keane wasn't bored in each of them two occasions. He won the race. He's horse that travels strongly. He needs to be just timed to hit the front inside the final half of furlong. I think he's only got one run in him. And Colin knows him well. And dropping into this company, he looks a standout based in recent form. Red Short City, number 4, trained by John McConnell, has decent snippets of form in maiden company. I think he's a bit better than his bare form. He'll have to step forward to figure though, or take on Pub Talk. And Miss Langmore, number 7, is interesting, but we haven't seen that one on the track for quite a length of time. Just last run was a good run in what was not a bad nursery on that occasion. But for me, Pub Talk sets a very, very good standard in recent form. Friday evening, not a bad way to kick off the evening with Pub Talk winning the first race.
Race 2 at Dundalk on Friday night at 5:15 is a 7-furlong handicap. The Crown Plaza Dundalk Race and Safe Package handicap, 47-65. Full field scheduled to go to post here. Early tissues, Frank, kind of suggesting Dynamite and Storm Eric are going to kind of dominate the top of the market by the look of things with the early prices. Obviously, polar ends of the spectrum in terms of experience. Storm Eric, an 8-race maiden, and Dynamite, a 66-race veteran with 5 wins and 12 places to his name. Anything in here standing out to you at the moment, or are you keen to kind of maybe look away from the top of the market?
Look, start with Dynamite. He's arguably in the best form he's been in for quite a length of time this winter without quite getting his head in front in recent starts. Just beat by Hero of the Hour, runs in race 8 tonight. We'll talk about him later, and I think time will tell. That was a very good run. An extra furlong tonight should suit him very well. Going to be a lot of pace in this race, Tom. Mullacash Buzz, number 2, always goes to front and usually goes a good strong gallop. He's drawn out stalled 17. That is going to help Storm Eric out stalled 14 and Dynamite stalled 16, in that it should give them a target to go forward and get into somewhat of an okay position from a tricky draw. Newmar number in comparison is drawn and stalled 2, number 11. I think he needs to improve a bit in his recent claim and form. And I come back to Storm Eric. I just thought his run last time was very, very decent given his likely race nature. It was a big run. He travelled very well and only went down when challenging wide of the eventual winner Circles. And the way he went through the race, he travelled strongly. He was drawn out wide on that occasion as well. He's only had the 8 runs, as you said. And I think given connections look like they're only finding the right trip for him in his last 2 runs over 7 furlongs, he's a much improved horse. Could still be very well handicapped, even off a 3 pounds higher mark. I think with the makeup of the race, he's the one I'd like to go with. Storm Eric, I would give a mention to Scarlet Dancer and Indiana Grey, number 1. But the one with the most upside is Storm Eric.
Race 3 at Dundalk on Friday night, 5:45 over 1.5 miles, is another 47-65. This time an apprentice handicap, the Dundalk Winter Series leading trainer and jockey championship apprentice handicap. Maralinga tops the weights at 65. DeLuca Chop and Celtic Revival coming into the race on the back of wins. Celtic Revival on for a hat trick. Fran, anything standing out to you here?
Yeah, start with the recent winners. DeLuca Chop is interesting. He dropped down in the ratings since joining his former trainer, Gerard Leary, who's ceased. It was actually his last runner and last winner since he handed in his license when he won here a couple of weeks ago. Quite well backed late on in that occasion, and stepping up and trip could very well suit him on the base of that win where he got up to, stayed on strongly to win on that occasion. And just given how low he's dropping the ratings, there may well be more improvement to come, but he will need to step forward because Celtic Revival has threatened all winter to get it together, Tom. He'd been too keen. He'd been doing too much through the mid part of his race, but James Ryan, since getting on him, has got the key to him. He's got him settled. He ran a great race in his first run with him riding, and he's won his last two. Now, James is not in the saddle. I presume he's suspended. Why he's not taking a ride on this occasion, but Sam Ewing is a very, very good, strong rider, as we know from riding over jumps. He's going to have good rides next week for Gordon Elliott over hurdles and fence at Cheltenham. I think he can get him settled from stall two. He's value for the winning margin last time when he switch out inside the final furlong before getting up late on. He's only £5 higher. For me, Celtic Revival, for all he's not an easy ride, is the one to be with. Marlinga, number one, had a couple of very good runs recently, has dropped way down the rating since winning at Leopardstown, £8 lower than her last winning mark. I don't think she'd get a mile and a half, and I'd oppose her for that reason, particularly out of stall 16. And Magic Gal, number 14, is another one dropping down the ratings that could be dangerous, but is drawn out quite wide. I think all in all, Celtic Revival, still in the lower bracket of this 65 handicap, is improving rapidly. Sam Ewing will get him settled. Hopefully from that inside draw, he should win again.
6:15, race 4 at Dundalk on Friday night, 10 furlongs with 8 scheduled to go to post. It's the View Restaurant at Dundalk Stadium handicap, and Finian's Bay tops the weights. We see the return of Bowerman, who we had earlier in the year. I did one of these for Anne with Jim. We kind of penciled him in as regressive, and he's won and been second since. Obviously, Dalby is in there, who was talented on his day in his younger years for Dennis Hogan, now with James McCauley for a long time. Anything standing out to you here, Fran, in race 4?
Yeah, start with the X-Wagon Can filly, number 6, Dabana. She's improved for her 2 runs for Mark Fahey. Quite eye-catching. When on stable debut, she was 3rd over a mile. She followed up and beating probably not the most relevant, the most resolute horse in relevant range. We gave him a bit of a dishing on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. The owners weren't too happy, but he was 2nd again. So Dabana, done well on that occasion to win. I think stepping up and trip could suit her well, and she is open to more improvement, Tom. But I think Aidan McGuinness does have the key to this race. Bowerman is well up in the weights for that win 2 starts ago. He dropped right down to ratings and capitalised when beating First Man in good style under nice ride from Chris Hayes. And again, he only went down by Necktails and Blue. And look, he's £3 higher, but he's still on a career lowish mark, if you like. He loves the all weather. And on recent form, I think he sets a good standard. But I'm very interested in Finnan's Bay. First run for Aidan McGuinness. This horse has got very, very good grass form all the way through his career for Mick Halford. He dropped right down the ratings when winning on his 2nd all-weather start back in October in really good style, battling on well to beat Longburn. And I just think that Aidan McGuinness, any of these horses like Real Appeal recently, when he buys them, he tends to be very fit for the first couple of runs to try and get a win on the board for the new ownership group. Adam Caffrey's big value for his £7 claim. And given Finnan's Bay's overall grass record, his all-weather record, he's run extremely well on Polytrack debut in a good handicap to win last time. I expect him to be fit with the claim. I think Finnan's Bay is the best horse in this race.
Lovely stuff. Halfway point in the Dundalk card, Fran. We'll take a little bit of a breather. Obviously, we've got Cheltenham to come next week. And you said before we started recording that you have a couple of little nuggets of wisdom. What would you like to share with us? Anything that you like next week?
Tom, you've done a great job with your Cheltenham previews all the way through, and Paddy Power to B team, of course. And have you come across a horse, Dr. Bravo, in the Supreme Novice Hurdle? Has that been mentioned at all?
Yes, Fran did mention Dr. Bravo, or Frank did, rather, Frank did mention Dr. Bravo, yeah.
Yeah, look, a really good word out of Gordon Elliott's stable firm, and I've come around to the way of liking him as an each way alternative to Facile Vega Marine National at 20-1. He's definitely a horse to be keeping an eye on. That's day one, but I've come up with a couple of bets that I'm going to be doing, Tom, and we'll start with a short price treble. Day one, Gaillard de Menil in the final race of the day should be very hard to beat in that old 4 mile race, the 3 mile sixer, as we call it now. His grade one form, provided he gets a trip, which he should do based on the way he relaxes. He should be different class, these horses. The Ballymore on day two, Imperial Pass, his win in the Moscow Flyer at Punchestown was very impressive. He's been heavily backed all week, and the word coming out, Claude Sutton, is very positive. He should take quite a bit of beating. And my nap of the week is Mighty Potter in the Turners on Thursday. I think he's been flawless all the way through his chasing career. He's had one blip, and that was at Cheltenham last year, but he was examined by the vet at the start. He got very worked up in the preliminaries, and I'm not sure, hindsight will tell you, maybe he shouldn't have ran, but he bounced back to win a Punchestown over hurdles. Extremely good horse. I don't think it's a good race, and that treble will pay about 12-1.
Lovely, that'll do. That'll pay for a few pints during the week if that clicks. Thank you very much indeed, Fran. Great stuff there.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
We'll continue with our Dundalk preview now with race 5 at 6:45. It's a mile maiden. The book online at dundalkstadium.com maiden. And obviously, Fran, we're light on form to go with a few, with a couple of runs and a few untried types here. Anything standing out to you at this stage? As we record on Thursday the 9th of March at 3 o'clock, Anora is scratched. So it looks like Talia will get in. What are you liking in the maiden here?
Yeah, Tally actually ran some promise to first reserve, but hard to see that one stepping forward to win a maiden. But there was definitely merit in her debut run. Standout bit of form here is number 7, Take Heart, trained by Johnny Murta. Very taken by his debut. He looked very green in the initial stages. Was drawn out wide. Billy Lee took him across to the inside to get him in amongst horses. And all the way down the straight, Tom, it took him an age to get going. But he stayed on well inside the final furlong without being knocked about too much. He was third on that occasion. Cash Out, the winner, ran with good credit last week, enlisted company, and the eventual second home is rated 77. It's a good line of form. They're well clear of the rest of the horse on that occasion. And I think with normal improvement, Take Heart sets a very good standard here when you go down through the rest of the opposition, which include number 2, Best Guess, who trained by Joe Sprint, showed some promise on debut, but is by Australia. Not sure about dropping down a distance for him. Pulse Light, number 5, for all in all, Mead had a good week last week. I think Pulse Light is not the most genuine, has quite a high head carriage in a couple of his races, and he's got blinkers on for the first time, but he has got decent level of experience. And Luke Homer runs 4 in this race. Initial attempt, were he to get back to his debut run, would be a big player, and he probably had a legitimate excuse when beaten 6 lengths last time. He could be the biggest danger to the selection, but Take Heart, with any amount of improvement to come, I would feel, despite being drawn out in stall 13 over a mile, is not the biggest negative in a maiden. He should win.
Race 6 on the card at Dundalk on Friday night is a mile conditions race. It's the Join Us on Instagram at Dundalk_stadium race. And it is the feature race of the night in terms of quality. Definitely Fran. Anthem National is in here. Only 6 declared, obviously. Anthem National is rated 100. You've got Current Option in there rated 103, and a few rated in the 80s. San Andreas is 104. It's definitely a race stacked with quality, but you would imagine a few of these will have bigger targets down the line, as you maybe alluded to at the top of the show. What are you thinking here?
Look, we'll start with a couple that are the ones to watch for next day, if you like, back in turf. Current Option, bit of a Galway specialist, but he's equally as good in good handicaps up to Curra. Keep an eye on him, see how he shapes up. Number 2, Longs here, number 3 as well. He's a decent horse on the turf. Would not be as effective on the all-weather, I would have thought. Won a handicap at Curra last year on soft ground. And then you're back to the key bit of form, Tom. It's said January the 20th, San Andreas was 2nd. 3rd was Alexander National, who reopposes. And then 4th was Angels Rat. The 3 of them all reoppose from that 7 furlong race on that occasion. To win a real appeal, won under bridle, basically. But he went on to run a cracker in Doha in Qatar when he was just a length and a half behind the former Breeders' Cup winner, Order of Australia. And start with San Andreas. He loves small fields, Dundalk conditions race. He ran a superb race last time when stepping up to 10.5 furlongs and back up down to mile. Whitwayne has taken off 10 pounds. He'll make the running and sets a very good standard. I just feel, though, that Anthem National is a stable companion. It was his first run last time for Joseph Bryan. Travelled well, and he wandered about a bit under pressure, and connections have gelded him on the back of that run. And given it was his first run since the previous March when he had some decent form in the UK for Ed and Simon Crisford, I think with the gelding, with the benefit of run and stable, maybe learning a bit about him, stepping up to mile for the first time, you would expect to improve off that initial outing. I think he's the one to be with here in this race.
Lovely stuff. The penultimate race of the evening is at 7:45. It's a mile handicap, and it is called the Floodlit Friday Nights at Dundalk Stadium Handicap. Celtic Crown tops the weights for Adam McGuinness. Adam Crafferty takes off the 7 with 10 stone 2. You've got a 12 declared to go to post, and it looks a competitive enough little race, Fran. Tricky enough to pick one out. I haven't been, I'll openly admit, haven't been watching much flat racing of late, but I see Michael Halford and Tracy Collins have one penciled in. I didn't realise they were actually going to run under the Conyngham Lodge banner. I didn't realise that was a thing. I think that's a good idea. I think it could be more like teams as opposed to individual trainers, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
Look, I think consolidation, is that what they call it nowadays, is probably a good way to go for trainers. Mick Halford and Tracy Collins come together and training on the Curra in one of the most famous yards on the Curra. It can only benefit both parties, and it's an interesting move. Only the second joint license in Ireland after Eddie and Patrick Harty. So, yeah, I think trainers, not so much swallow their pride, but be a bit more business-like about things, maybe is not a bad way to go at all. It'd be interesting to see if, you know, more individuals follow on from this, the example of this. And Arcaneer's very good win last time, Tom. He dropped right down the ratings, though, and he was running in the lowest grade he had for much of his career, and he capitalised on that when winning well. I just think back up in the weights, he has a little bit more to do, albeit off a mark of 70. And look, he's got every chance of being involved. It's a very competitive race. He got Celtic Crown, who could probably only watch unless DeMarcus speaks in her favour. I think she could be tuned up for a grass campaign for Ada McGuinness, number one. Higher Kingdom, number two, has also been running consistently well. He just needs things to fall his way. But when they do, he's very, very effective on this track. And Gumama was a ready winner recently as well. She's dropping back down to a mile, which should suit her well. Highland King, an interesting one for Henry de Bromhead, ex-Johnny Murtagh trained horse with some decent snippets of form along the way, and a pace angle down the bottom, Ella Bella, who can be dangerous when getting out in front. But in a competitive race, you can make a case for all the horses I mentioned. The one that I like, and I think it will be an each way price, is Tyr Connell, number eight, trained by Sarah Lynham. He's a multiple winner of this track. He has yet to win in the past 2 years, but I thought his recent run at this track on his second run back after break was very good when he kept on behind Mulgrave. He just did not get the best of runs at a vital stage. He may well have been a length closer. Third run back now, I think at the age of nine, he may well just need a couple of runs to get tuned up. And given Ella Bella's in this race, Tyr Connell's a hold-up horse, I think he'd be running on strongly to debt. He could be each way value here.
The final race of the evening at Dundalk on Friday night. Fran and Kevin will be smelling the Chinese at this stage. It's at 8:15. It is the 6 furlong handicap called the Racing Thursday, March 16th at Dundalk Handicap. It's a 47-70 full field scheduled to go to post here. Fran, what are you thinking in the lucky last?
Yeah, again, you're back to 6 furlong, very, very competitive handicap. Collective Power for Eddie Lynham has been disappointing. He's been a bookie's benefit all winter. He's always been favoured or second favoured without quite getting his head in front. He's back up to 6 furlongs with a wide draw. Not sure that'll suit him. Number four, Super Cub. Again, keep an eye on that one with a view to the turf, having his first run for quite a length of time, 161 days. And number five, Surviving Murmansk. Talk about bad race planning. I think he's was a very well handicapped horse, but on the base of running in maidens, he's gone from a rating of 41 up to 67. It's a huge increase, but I do think even off that mark, there's a day in him somewhere. It'll be interesting to see how he does perform and off this mark. And number nine and number 10, Prince of Abington and Pulse of Shanghai are worth mentions as well. But we gave Hero the Hour, Tom, I mentioned earlier. I think he's going to be very hard to beat again. He had threatened all winter to get his head in front. He runs some good race in defeat, having travelled really well in his race. He just never seemed the most resolute inside the final 100 yards. But since getting the headgear on, the blinkers on, he's won his last two starts. He quickened up to win very well last time. And once hitting the front, he idled and just hung on to win by nose. He's only up 3 pounds in the ratings. He won from stall 16 and stall 17 his last two runs. I think he's a lot more in the locker than his current rating, and with a likely strong gallop to suit again, Hero of the Hour could bring up to the hat trick for George Kingston.
Nap of the night, Fran Berry.
Nap of the night, maiden-wise, is Take Heart, and for an each way double, we'll go Tyr Connell race 7, and we will chance Finnan's Bay race 4 with the dead 8 runners.
Lovely stuff. Anything else you'd like to mention? Anything you want to get off your chest? Anything at Cheltenham? I assume you're over there for a couple of days, eh?
I am indeed. Yeah, I'm there Sunday until Wednesday evening, back for Dundalk next Thursday evening. So if things are going bad in Cheltenham, tune into Dundalk. We'll try and reload for Friday of Cheltenham if you like. But look, a couple of other multiples that are worth to mention. Each way treble. Factofile in the bumper, Tom. I think he's underrated. I know A Dream to Share beat him comprehensively inside the final following the Dublin Racing Festival. I just think at 10 to 1 with a likely stronger gallop, he's very interesting for William Mullins at the bumper. And again, Lotta Joy, who we put up anti-post for the Mayor's Novice Hurl. She's 7 to 1 with Paddy Power, each way proposition in the Mayor's Novice Hurl on the Thursday. And on the Friday, Tree Car Brag, I think, has been totally underrated in the Albert Bartlett. He's 7 to 1. So that each way travel pays 703 to 1. So we'll take a chance with that.
We'll see you in Barbados, Fran, if that if that manages to land. Right, oh, lovely.
We might add one to that then. Oh, for an ACA. Do you want to wait?
There's more. There's more.
Do you want to wait until June to get paid?
If I'm getting paid, I'll wait as long as it takes.
look, the three horse I mentioned, Factofile, Lotta Joy, Tree Car Brag, but just as the wild card, I do a column for Racing TV for members this week, a horse to follow on the flat. And a horse called Alexandra Polis, I think, is very exciting for Aidan O'Brien. He won a debut in Galway. To win a debut at Galway in a big field maiden takes a bit of doing. It's so undulating. And this was a very competitive maiden. And he's locked up behind a wall of horses. He burst through inside the final furlong to win and win readily under Wayne Lauren. The eventual second home was just beaten at Group 1 in France afterwards. I think he's a really exciting horse. He's got a prospect out of a maiden, I think, for Aidan O'Brien. He's 25 to 1 for the Epsom Derby, Tom. And if were he to win, we'll get 18,303 to 1. So we'll take that.
Wow.
We won't be doing podcasts next chat.
Well, I'll tell you, if that comes in, we might forgive the burp at the top of the show. You know, that wipes your slate clean. Well done, Fran. And never let it be said that you're not putting the legwork in for us. Thank you very much. Righto, just before we finish up, a couple of small reminders for you. Don't forget to subscribe to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Lots of really high quality racing content. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel and like and comment all the videos. There is a great Rewind show on there with Rich Ritchie, which is definitely worth a watch. He's going through all his Cheltenham Festival memories with Paddy and Ruby Walsh, who of course is synonymous with those pink and green colours. And don't forget, if you want to go to the Paddy Power Cheltenham Fan Zone, either in Dublin, Galway or London, link is in the show notes to get your tickets. A really good crack. And we've got final declaration Cheltenham podcast. It's coming with you after the final declarations come out. PK is in the company of Ruby Walsh and Rory Delargy, and they'll look at the final fields in lots more detail for you. But for now, that's another Friday with Fran. Fran Berry, thank you very much indeed.
Tom, have a good week. Look forward to next week at Cheltenham.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Cheers. Thank you for listening. I've been Tom Nugent. He's been Fran Berry. You've been you. And that was another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. Good luck.